You're listening to Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Today we have an exciting show about new graphene materials that are revolutionizing the world. We are honored and privileged that our guest today is Dr. Elena Polyakova, co-founder and co-CEO of Graphene 3D Lab, a company that is well known for manufacturing graphene composites. Graphene 3D Lab produces graphene filaments, which are widely used in 3D printing. Their customers include NASA, HP, Ford Motor Company, GE, Apple, Samsung, MIT, Yale, and Stanford University. In today's interview, Dr. Polyakova discussed why graphene composites are important, how they started the company when no graphene materials were commercially available, and how they successfully created and commercialized graphene filaments used in 3D printing. Dr. Polyakova also gave us examples of how people use graphene materials in sensors, how graphene is used to absorb radiation, and is also used as shock absorbers in the construction industry. We also talked about why graphene materials are expected to have a great future in manufacturing cars and drones. And for young students, we also talked about science projects that teachers could use in middle and high schools so that their students can start experimenting with new graphene materials. In 2016, the graphene market is approximately a $100 million market. Analysts and our guest, Dr. Elena Polyakova, expect that the graphene market will become a multi-billion dollar market in the next 10 years. Thank you again for joining us today, and we would like to thank our guest, Dr. Elena Polyakova, very much for her time and for today's interview. Could you tell us about the graphene products that are made at Graphene 3D Lab?
We have one subdivision of the company which is making graphene materials, and we also have another subdivision of the company which makes advanced composites based on graphene material. So one of our commercial products is materials for 3D printing, mostly it's for FDM 3D printing, so it's a technology which is used in most of desktop 3D printers. And we're also working on development of composite materials based on graphene for many different applications outside of 3D printing.
Why are the graphene composites that you produce important for 3D printing?
Our filaments are electrically conductive. So in order to make a filament electrically conductive, you have to put something conductive inside, and graphene is a perfect candidate to do that. Right now we offer several different filaments. One is based on PLA, and another one is flexible and conductive. It's based on TPU.
How does your company, Graphene 3D Lab, make the filaments that are used in 3D printing?
We make graphene materials, and after that we mix it with polymers, and after that we extrude it and make 3D printing materials.
How do you go about researching different graphene recipes that can be used in 3D printing?
Usually we have a smaller machine we use to do research and development, and before it works we usually do many different cycles. But when recipe is ready, we have to take this recipe and use it on a larger machine. It takes some effort to start the large extruder, but once it's running, you can make a lot of filament in one run. But overall, it's a matter of weeks. Usually we have production schedule, so if we give the project the highest priority, probably we can manufacture a new recipe within several days. But usually it's not the case because you have to buy stuff, prepare. So in real life, it takes maybe 3 weeks.
Could you give us some examples on how different people have used your graphene filaments to 3D print different parts?
Actually, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas, but let me just give you several examples. For example, our flexible and conductive filaments can be used to make sensors. We have a lot of interest from people in medical fields. They are printing small conductive pads, which can be used to measure current. You can do EKG, so you can measure heart pulse, or you can do many different measurements where you can detect signals through your skin. Some couple of our clients use it to detect signals from brain. And you can also do first 3D scanning, so you can make sensors which kind of fit to the patient. And for other materials. We have a lot of interest in defense industry. So you can make 3D printed shapes which conduct electricity, and you can use those materials for absorption of radar radiation, and you can also make a different kind of waveguide.
Could you give us examples of how different shapes that are 3D printed with graphene can absorb radiation?
A very simple example, if you just make a plate, radiation will be absorbed by the material. You can also make materials in different shapes, so you can optimize properties of absorbing layer.
Many newspapers recently reported that researchers at Trinity College in Ireland added graphene to silly putty and produced conductive materials. Is it that easy to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy. So it's more or less what I described, what you can do with our filaments, which are already commercially available. You can do more or less the same. It's a really nice example when you make graphene story. Sounds easy, and it's very attractive for kids and general public, but by no means it's something complicated from scientific point of view. We have many different conductive and flexible materials which can be made similar by properties to the silly putty. But overall, if somebody just wants to make flexible and conductive stuff out of graphene, science is already done and all those materials are already available commercially.
Do you think a good science project for young students would be to get some graphene and mix it with silly putty and see how silly putty changes?
I personally would strongly recommend do not do it, because when we produce graphene, we start from natural graphite and we convert it into graphene powder. It's a fluffy powder. It's not toxic, but as any powder, it's better to keep it away from children, because if you inhale it, it will go into your lungs. It's true for all kinds of powder. And in this case, it's not intended for use, in high schools. But after we process and combine it with polymers, it becomes trapped inside of the polymer, so it's not flying around anymore and it can be used in the classroom. And again, just all this mixing has to be done on professional equipment. And you don't really want kids in the high school work with powders. First, it creates mess, and second, unless it's handled properly, it might be dangerous for health. For example, if we do it in our professional equipment, we can make similar material, and then kids can play with it. But mixing itself should be done, by adults.
However, if science teachers wanted to show their students how graphene can change the properties of silly putty or rubber, can they call you and you provide them with some samples?
We are working on development of industrial materials. So we have graphene inside of rubber, and you can make 100 interesting projects for kids. But on the other hand, production of silly putty is not something that, we thought of. To some extent, if you come to us and ask, can you come up with 100 exciting projects for kids, we will give you different ideas. More or less, we're developing industrial materials, and you can take our industrial materials and make a lot of exciting projects for kids.
How can science teachers contact Graphene 3D Lab?
We have several websites, so if they're interested, so if they have a 3D printer, they can take a look at materials that we already offer. And our website is blackmagic3d.com, and they can take a look at properties of materials. And overall, it's very easy. So a desktop 3D printer can be purchased, on Amazon for less than $500. And most of high schools in the United States have FDM 3D printers. So they can buy one roll of filament and they can create maybe 50 different items out of it and do a lot of exciting projects.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our show today is about graphene 3D printing, and our guest is Dr. Elena Polyakova, who founded Graphene 3D Lab with her husband, Dr. Daniel Stoliarov. In this part of the interview, Dr. Polyakova will talk about how they started Graphene 3D Lab and the commercial opportunities that are available for 3D printing with graphene filament.
Daniel and I are two co-founders of the company. I was lucky to be one of the first researchers involved in graphene and I worked at Columbia University for 4 years. I published several very exciting papers between 2005 and 2009. We both were very excited to work with graphene, but 10 years graphene materials were not available commercially. So Daniel and I decided to start a company and make graphene materials for industrial use. And for the first several years, we developed several recipes for CVD graphene, for graphene oxide and other materials. And at the same, we were looking for killer applications for graphene. And we started to mix graphene with polymers and develop different types of composites. And we identified 3D printing as a very nice entry point because it's a relatively small niche market. And as far as our materials are still relatively expensive, it's the market when people are willing to pay higher price for premium materials. So we have successfully created and commercialized graphene 3D printing filaments. And right now we're working on scaling up production of graphene materials, and we hope we can make materials at much lower price. And in this case, our materials can be used not only in small markets such as 3D printing, but also in many large industries.
Could you give us an idea of what 3D markets you're trying to develop graphene filaments for?
Right now, we are developing mechanically reinforced composites. You know that plastics are used in almost all industries. And if you can make a plastic composite which are much stronger than the commercially available plastic materials, people in many different industries will be interested. One example is the construction industry. Another example is automotive. So if you can make stronger parts, you can also make lighter parts. You will need less material to create the same part. For example, if you have a racing car, every kilogram will save you, you know, seconds in competition. Also, our materials are attractive for people that make drones. Because when you make a drone, again, usually a small drone can fly only for 20 minutes. So if you can make your drone material lighter, you will go, let's say, from 20 minutes to 1 hour. If you can just make a stronger and lighter materials, they will be used everywhere as long as price is low enough.
How much stronger and lighter do your new graphene materials have to be so as to attract the attention of car manufacturers and the construction industry and convince them to give your new graphene materials a chance?
That's a very good question. So right now we do mechanical testing, so we know that we improved mechanical properties. And we have recently released material which we called G6 Impact. This material has been optimized for vibration damping. So in this case, it can be used in constructions. For example, when you drill something or there is some kind of vibration in the system, so it's going to help to absorb shock. And in this case, we do mechanical testing. So we improved Young modulus by 300%, and we improved ultimate tensile strength by 40%.
You mentioned that this material dampens vibrations, so do you think it can be used with pumps to dampen their noise as well as their vibration?
You can make shock dampers, so you can make like legs for a pump, so you can stop noise by this way. Yeah, it's a very good example. And also our materials are very attractive for people that create different kind of scientific devices. So you can make nice vibration insulation platforms and improve performance for example, fine optics devices.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM for our interview with Dr. Elena Polyakova, who is the co-chief executive officer of Graphene 3D Lab. Could you tell us how you started Graphene 3D Lab and how you made it grow until it became successful and started trading on the Toronto Stock Exchange?
Actually, it's been almost 8 years since the day we started the company. When we started company initially, it was a perfect Stanford story. There were only two of us and we were making materials, not in a garage, but more or less in a spare room. After that, we moved company to first office and we built production facility. For the first 4 years, we didn't use investor money. We invested our personal savings and we were able to grow company in organic mode. But about 3 years ago, we had several great ideas and we felt that we are ready to move to the next level. So we were able to raise money from different sources. And when we went public, we also raised money which helped us to buy equipment for production of polymers.
Does Graphene 3D Lab have internships in the summer for students?
Unfortunately, we don't offer internships because we work with chemicals and heavy equipment. We might have openings for students in social media, or we can work with students that want to make a nice project out of materials. But in terms of production itself, it's a specialty chemicals production, so it's not a place for a young kid. It's more or less chemical production, so if something goes wrong, potentially it can be dangerous. We are working with acids, we are working with powders, with extruders. They are running at 220 degrees centigrade, so potentially it can be dangerous for a young kid.
In the last few minutes of our interview with Dr. Elena Polyakova, who has a PhD in physical chemistry from the University of Southern California and who started Graphene 3D Lab, I wanted to know if she had any advice for students who would like to study nanomaterials and to become experts in designing new materials for the future.
You should always ask yourself, so if you make something new, if it's actually going to be better than something that already exists. And you have to continuously educate yourself and learn more about, you know, real world rather than sit in a lab and invent something. And if you make something, just make sure that it's something that's going to revolutionize this world. You know, just small improvement is not enough.
How did you become interested in developing new materials?
In 2005, I graduated with PhD in physical chemistry, and I moved from Los Angeles to New York and started my postdoctoral position at Columbia University, and I was given a choice of several projects, and one of the projects was related to graphene. I started to work with many famous people. I was lucky to have a chance to work with several Nobel Prize winners, and I got absolutely excited about this field, and I've been working with graphene for the last 12 years of my life, and even more excited now than 12 years ago when I started.
What advice would you give people who would like to start their own companies?
The most important thing is that the chances of success, 5 or 10%. So you have to be realistic and you have to prepare for long hours, for disappointment, for rejection. So before you start, consider all possible chances. It's not for everyone. It's very difficult.
What do you think gave you the courage to succeed and persevere and make Graphene 3D Lab a successful company?
To some extent, I was very lucky. First of all, when we started companies, my husband has a full-time job, and I was able to work for free for almost 2 years. He was extremely supportive of this project. And after we started generating revenue, he quit his job and joined the company. And for many people, it's really difficult to, you know, to live for 2 years without salary. And also, we were extremely lucky that when we just started, we signed a deal with a large company which was making equipment. It gave us chance to go from, you know, let's say, from garage stage to the stage where we had the office and first 3 employees. So it was a critical step. And after that competition, and you really have to understand what's going on around you, because it's very small, difficult for a small company to compete with larger companies. So you have to be very creative and continuously reinvent yourself and come up with new ideas and opportunities.
I see that you work very hard and you write a lot of papers and you travel many times a year to give presentations about Graphene 3D Lab.
Yes, probably too many places. I think that I gave 6 presentations within the last 3 months, so it's probably a little bit too much.
Where can people go online to find out more about Graphene 3D Lab?
They can go to our website. It's graphene3dlab.com. We would be happy to answer their questions, and we would be happy to send small samples of our materials, and also would be happy to discuss the ideas of projects.
What would you like to tell our listeners about graphene and 3D printing with graphene filaments before we end this interview?
A lot of people think that graphene is a scientific miracle, so it's still very far from commercialization, but actually it is not so. Right now, finally our company and several other companies learned to make graphene materials commercially, and now we are moving from a lab bench to commercialization, and we anticipate that graphene will become commercial success in the next several years.
Do you think graphene composites have a big market today, and how big do you think that market will be 5 or 10 years from now?
Market of graphene composites, it's huge. In this case, price is still an issue, but if price will go down by a factor of, let's say, 50, and it's doable, it's just a question of, you know, building larger factories. So in this case, it's definitely going to be a multi-billion dollar market. It's too early to give you the exact number, but in terms of graphene composites, they definitely have outstanding performance. So as soon as price is right, it will be used in hundreds of different industries.
And you really believe that the market for graphene composites will be a multi-billion dollar market in 5 years?
Let's say within 5-10 years. It's still difficult to say because we're working with materials, so you have to build factories, you have to deal with hardware, and it's usually never as fast as the progress in Silicon Valley in app development or in software development. So you cannot build a factory in one day. But in 5-10 years, I'm absolutely confident it's going to be a huge market for graphene. Otherwise, I would be doing something else with my life.
You've been listening to Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we would like to thank our guest, Dr. Elena Polyakova, very much for her time and for today's interview. If you would like more information about Dr. Polyakova's company, Graphene 3D Lab, please visit their website, graphene3dlab.com. If you would like a copy of today's interview, please download it from moderntechnews.com. That's modern, T-E-K, news.com, and please follow the link to Nanotechnology.